toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. I hope in these last two nights you've had a chance to look up and to see the stars, the Milky Way, the arms of our galaxy. There's a lovely thought that for each one of us in the place and the time we were born, there was a star above our head. So we know through modern science that things are always moving and that space-time is not quite what we think it is. Although our perspective, which is really what it challenges, is able to encompass variety, a plethora of ways of seeing. And the Sufis speak of two kinds of light, well, more than two, but in this case, two. One, the light that is seen, and if we look around, we see all the beautiful rays of light, and that light is just zinging around everywhere to create this array of colors, shades. And we know that when we look up past our atmosphere, up into the starry night sky, that even that apparent dark to us is filled with light that is not visible to our eyes, but still part of that electromagnetic spectrum, and informs us through ways we've detected that those rays below the infrared and above the ultraviolet. So again, this challenges our perspective, and that second way of seeing is just that, the light that sees. So who or what is it that sees? How do we see, and what do we see? And that which is binds us, the light that is both visible to our human eyes and that which is not visible, not in that same way, but certainly perceptible. So as we speak now, the light is of our star. Our Earth star, the Sun, is rising behind us. It's crested the horizon where there aren't mountains, but is coming up over the mountain behind us. And if we could for a moment imagine greeting the rising sun, standing before it, watching before it crests, how the sky around us lightens with each moment. The range of the intensity of light, that power of light from the deepest dark, you know, around 2 or 3 a.m. to the apex of light that is visible, is, I believe it's over a billion times greater in intensity. And if we watch in our mind's eye the light of the environment around us lighten as the sun rises, it both, in the words of the Rubaiyat, it dispels the night and the stars, but it also, at the same time, creates a kind of sheath of light which obscures our vision of the cosmos in which we whirl. So the visible light is glorious. We're dazzled by that light, and it has a way of purifying our sense of identity, who we are. Something in us resonates with that light. So we can imagine that first ray piercing the horizon, and the quality of that light is so different than the atmospheric or ambient light. It awakens in us the remembrance of our luminous angelic heritage. It stirs in us something very central to our being. And in our imaginary landscape, as the sun rises, it increases to such a degree that it is overpowering to our glance. But in our mind's eye, we can meet that rising sun with our glance. And in doing so, awaken that aspect of our glance which is proactive, which is perceptive, which lifts veils and sees. So we as human beings are especially oriented in our physiology towards the perception of light. So in our mind's eye, we greet the sun, which is truly the source of vegetal and animal life on our planet, on which we feed. Our cells are ignited in a way by that light. We respond to the warm and gentle rays of that light by opening, relaxing, Pirvalaya used to say it's like sunbathing. In a way, when the cloud passes and the body relaxes and opens to the light of the sun, in some cultures, the newborn child is raised at dawn and presented to the light of the sun. Bathed in the light of the sun. And there are ways we wash ourselves with this light. Just like in a shower with water. And if you recall, Pirzia took us through this washing, cleansing of light, by light, on light. And brought us to the light of lights. So we can attune ourselves to this spectrum of light with a zikr of light, and it's the invocation of Yanur, Yamanur, Yanur as the light that is, let's say, the matrix, the all-pervading light. Inayat Khan says the all-pervading light, which is everywhere and nowhere. So we can think of it as that which is within, that gives rise to that which is without. It's that light that gives rise to our glance and our perception and our knowing, our intelligence. There's in all aspects of life and all particles of existence, that inherent knowledge, the light of intelligence, that orients it towards its function and its purpose. And we too have that inner light that orients us to our purpose, our essence. And Inayat Khan says, when light is gathered in a center, those rays shoot out from that center and become visible. That visible light concentrated in a center that is radiating is Manower. So as we say this zikr, the head circumscribes an increasingly wider circle from left shoulder, left knee, right shoulder, to the apex above our head, above our fontanelle, an ever-increasing sphere which is not only represented by our consciousness extending into the wider environment and even to the cosmic view we have in the depth of night, reaching out to the stars. Being blessed by the light of the stars, which are always there in a different pattern of constellations as we participate in the whirling of the planet. And also within, as we deepen our attunement to Nur, which then dissolves boundaries and connects us to the inner light. And the inner light is a light which, in that aspect, doesn't dim, doesn't darken, doesn't change in degree or quality as the outer light does. It has its own topography. The topography is rich and varied as the colors of the rainbow, as the light without. And the koanic aspect of that inner light is that it's not visible in the way that we perceive visible light. It's of a different nature. It is an awakening light which prompts us to perceive. And we may perceive our roots, our awakening consciousness. And bring us to the essence of light, of that inner light. The light that illuminates light, a light upon a light. So So we begin by internally invoking beings of light guardians of light. Our designated guardian of light, our angelic counterpart, so as the head goes round, Yan Nur, light of lights, descending deep into the void, which sparks an awakening and an outpouring. Purvalayat called it the white hole, from which possibility becomes manifest, comes into our world through our being, and rises to the heart. Well, the solar plexus is the depths of the heart, so it rises to what we call the Sirya, the Anahata chakra, and radiates far and wide, and reaches the light of the stars. So, you know, we produce light, and Murshid says when this light is gathered in us and radiates, it's as if we become a star. Our light with each other and with the light of the stars awakens us to the ocean of light in which we live and move and communicate, like a telegraphy of light. Yon. Yeah. Inhaling Noor, exhaling Manower. Exhaling with great outreach. Inhaling with great depth, centrality. And as we inhale, pause briefly, turn the eyes inward and upward as if we're reaching through the fontanelle to that mythic star above our heads. And if you can, press the tip of the tongue to the soft palate just very lightly. And exhale. I'll just do that one more time. And now return to the breath that is. Inhale and exhale. So we are instruments for making the all-pervading light visible. How do we do that? Well, if we can't and don't, and it isn't seeing the inner light. So Pirvalayat says you can feel it. It's an inner sense. You see with your inner eye, so to speak, and you feel light. And how do we make that light visible? We do through our love, our curiosity, through the glance of our eyes, which are not obscured by worry, thought, this, that, the other thing, but expressing the glorification of the one and only being, and perceiving that in our visible world. Anayat Khan says, wherever I look, I see thy beloved face hidden under many different veils. But lo, the piercing of my ever-seeking eye lifts the veils. And what is seen? Thy beloved countenance. And also through our hearts, when we are moved by beauty, beauty in visible form, beauty in manner, beauty in speech, and it produces in us a smile. So it's said we can fashion ourselves with our inner architecture. And also with our feelings. And our feelings are various. They come and they go, like the clouds in the sky. But they also bring blessing, like the clouds in the sky bring rain. And they engender in us connections with each other. And sometimes we feel one way, and sometimes we feel another way. And those feelings, like the rays of light, of white light that are broken into the colors of the spectrum, those feelings have a spectrum. And so if we recognize the feeling that we're in, if we have that moment where we say, I'm feeling whatever I'm feeling, we have the ability to lighten that feeling, to bring light to that feeling. And Anayat Khan gives a teaching about this that he links to the element breaths. And so let us share those element breaths. And as we take the breath in and release the breath, recognize that we're also inhaling and exhaling light. Light in the form of energy, light in the form of awareness or consciousness, and prana. So we'll begin with the earth breath, inhaling and exhaling through the nose. Feeling the connection to the earth through the soles of our feet, through the base of our spine, through the palms of our hands, through our presence in this room, on this blessed land, this whirling planet. Feel our connection to our Mother Earth. And the feeling that Inayat Khan notes here that can be lightened is the feeling of fear. And when fear is illuminated, it brings caution. So as we inhale and exhale through the nose, let's just sense what that might mean for us in our lived experience. So there may be an element of something awakening in our fear. And if we bring light to it, maybe we can hone in on it and let the associations that we make with that go. Maybe it's rational, maybe it's not. But to honor that feeling and to illuminate it. So we can pass to the water breath. Inhaling through the nose, exhaling through the mouth. With a fine stream, lips gently pursed. Like standing in a shower of light. Shower of water and light. How the water, when illuminated, sparkles. And if one wants to watch the rising sun or the full sun, the place to see it is in the water. Reflected in the water. That will not hurt your eyes. So the feeling that is associated with water is one of connection and friendliness, and sometimes, well, it also, at its depths, encounters their feelings of difficult feelings, kind of resentment and not connection, and even hurt. And when illuminated, it brings connection, that mid-range back, and more fully illuminated, awakens affection. A closer degree of proximity and healing. And you know, it's nearly ubiquitous now that when people are hurt, the tenders, the healers will say, breathe in through the nose, breathe out through the mouth, relax. It will bring healing. So this is a knowledge that has permeated our culture. And as it brings that closer degree of proximity, it awakens our heart to love, that comfort from within that puts us in connection with ourself, our soul, the divine. It's the way we show love outwardly, affection, connection. And with the, now we can change to the fire breath. Inhaling through the mouth, exhaling through the nose, and even focusing the inhalation on the solar plexus, the exhalation from the Anahata chakra, the Sirhya, the center of the breast, the center heart. And here the feeling that Murshid names is anger, could be passion in its illuminated phase. So I here like to give an example of that transformation with the civil rights workers, particularly those that are most known to us, Ruby Dee, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and how the outrage and anger of the abuse through discrimination can be transformed to a greater love. How through awakening that aspect of the outrage, which is the lever of transformation. So in the case of the civil rights workers, this is that illuminated justice. The arc bends toward justice, Martin Luther King says. So our anger has within it something for us to discover and to refine and to hone in on and transform into righteousness. And it need not be, you know, there are degrees of passion. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passion, but her demeanor was, as she says in her own words, it was ladylike. And we can now shift to the air breath, inhaling and exhaling through the mouth, very fine stream of air. And so here the feeling may be various, but causes a kind of agitation, a feeling of constriction, a feeling of something not quite aligned. And when illuminated, brings freedom. So air in its alchemical configuration disperses. And actually each of the elements have an alchemical component, but in this dispersal, you know, when we think of letting go of that which binds and perceptions or habits that are outdated, I like to remind us of the compost cycle, so they don't just go out in their, let's say, their current clumsy form, but in their releasing of the elements that of which they're comprised, so that they return to the ground of creation and can be reused in a new form. There was a wonderful Sufi teacher in our Inayati Sufi order named Murshida Viracorda, and I worked with her as a young murid in her seed center, which was for children. She would have us go around the building every morning. There's a group of people who work there, combing the air with our fingers and our consciousness reaching right up into the corners of all of the rooms. Yan Nur, Yam an hour, Yan Nur, Yam an hour. We probably looked a little daffy doing this, and I say that probably because I had that early impression, but oh Lordy, is that powerful. if you bring consciousness to that practice, that clears the air. It clears the air. It's like netting things and kind of making them a new dough for a new bread. And so we come to the final breath of this practice, not our final breath, the final breath of this practice that is oriented towards ether. And the feeling here that Murshid equates with this breath, that where this can be transformed, is sorrow. And sorrow, through its expression and release, brings peace. And we know this because our friends will say, have a good cry, and their arms are there to embrace us. And so are our paradisical guardians, are the beings of light that surround us, the friend. So inhaling and exhaling gently, this that is called the sensus communis, where all senses, from which all senses derive, the etheric realm. And higher or deeper, without directionality really, to the inmost light of lights, that which illuminates beings, is ever present, always with us, untarnishable. In reach with the breath, with remembrance. So let us share in the prayer Nyas. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, through the rays of the sun, through the waves of the air, through the all-pervading life in space, purify and revivify. And I pray, heal my body, heart, and soul. Amen.